Sometimes with Anthony Smith, would he forget where he was saying that, I don't think a lot of people know this about me. I'm a grappler. How the fuck would we have known that? When have you ever fucking grappled in a fight? So how the fuck are the fans wrong for that shit? Your fighting style! What the fuck are you talking about? And he's going off on people like, oh, you don't know that I'm actually a grappler, dude. You're the one striking all the fucking time. What is he talking about?
The last win he had with a submission was in 2021 against Ryan Spann. Then he submitted Devin Clark with the triangle choke. He submitted Gustafson with the rear naked. Volkan, rear naked.
All right, he's got
oh, shit. Okay, we didn't watch these fights.
Turn that off. Turn that off.
But also, you know what, Anthony Smith? I apologize.
Show hosted by very casual fans that don't know anything at all. And David, why'd you take off your shoes?
My feet are hot. My balls is hot.
Oh.
My balls is hot.
My name is Gilbert. That is David So. And that is Nick Dunn with the Wonton Ears. A lot of comments lately, Nick. People are shitting on your ears. I have to defend you, man. Nothing wrong with the ears, guys.
Nah, they're pretty fucked up, dude. They're pretty fucked up.
Because you guys have never rolled with the monster, all right? Nick the ear. This is a badge of fucking honor.
Let's go.
Right? Most gargoyles want this.
They aspire. They aspire.
We like ear.
Now, sometimes if I see my ear on like a video from like a different angle, like or from behind me, I go, oh, that's what my ears look like from behind. Yeah. They're very gross. I don't, people in the street.
Why is David smiling so much?
They stare at me, yo. They stare at me and they look at my ears with, they're either like horrified or they're like,
I want Chinese food.
Yeah. Ooh, I want some fried wonton.
So hungry.
I don't really blame people for looking at my ears funny because they are a trip.
Anymore. After a while, you get used to it and you don't even see them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a person.
Really?
Thank you, David.
No.
Hey, man, relax.
Dude. Oh, shit. Oh, that's
every time he walks in the room, I just, God, Jesus. Oh, my bad. It's just Nick.
Real question about fighting. Who wins in an actual street fight? Kendrick Lamar, Drake.
Kendrick Lamar boxers, actually.
Does he really?
Yeah, have you seen Drake hit mitts?
He's not that good.
Exactly.
He's not that good.
This fool throws his head faster forward than he does his hands.
Wait, Kendrick be boxing?
I didn't know Kendrick boxes.
Kendrick can box.
I gotta find
all those Compton fools can box, man. They always have it's the same boxing gym that they all go to. They all box.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Kendrick got some hands.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Drake,
all right, well, Drake
he bought that
bodied
action.
Again.
Drake is just so weird. Like, I don't know. His last track, too, was basically like, hey, man, I didn't touch those kids. That's what the whole song was about.
It was all defending him.
Yeah, I didn't touch no kids. I swear I didn't touch no kids.
Millie Bobby Brown slid into my DMs.
Yeah, I got money, so why would I touch kids?
Yeah.
It's like, this is a terrible track.
You should not ever release this.
I swear I don't. No, I don't do that.
And by the way, I planted that stuff about my 11-year-old daughter. Just like, yeah. Oh,
which
man.
Which was kind of like really sus, too, because in the previous track, he said that he didn't care, but did you not care or did you plant the guy?
Nah, dude.
So he kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
He already like outed himself out.
Yeah.
And also, too, if you had receipts, don't you think that when he dropped it, he would have been like, bam, I got you.
Yeah.
It took you 3 days to fucking respond. That makes no sense. Get your fucking wide eye. First of all, your eye starts here and your other eye starts here. Fucking weirdo.
I'm surprised Kendrick didn't say that.
Motherfucker's looking into both of his ear holes, dude. His eyes are so far apart. You fucking dweeb. Shut the fuck up.
Dude, David released a
West Side. What's up? West Coast banger. Bump.
Dude.
Davis released just a diss track to Drake just to see if it blows up.
I know. You
got this more, random guy.
You got more money than me, and everybody knows about you. And not, yeah.
I don't touch no kids.
If I don't touch no kids,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Stop bringing that up.
Motherfucker drive by elementary school and be like, too old. Bam.
Boom, roasted.
Oh.
Now, Kendrick Lamar dropped like a 10-8 round, brother.
Dude, Euphoria, 10-8. Dude, was so good. I've been
crazy.
Bumping that shit in my
I can't stop playing it.
It's such a good song. It's a good song.
When he talks about how When Sexy Red stands next to Drake and he sees two bad bitches. Oh my God, how creative is that burn?
Dude, me and my homie James were in the car. We both busted up laughing. I was like, dude, that's so funny.
And I know it's coming, but it makes me laugh every single time.
So good, dude.
It's tough, man. You're fighting against a poet.
He's too good.
You're not. Yeah.
He's
a poet.
Too good.
The sing-songy rapper's not going to beat the dude from fucking Compton, the lyricist. It's just not going to happen. It's just, look, I don't hate Drake either.
No.
Right? He has so many fucking bangers.
I do now, though. I fucking hate him now.
I didn't before.
Kendrick made me hate him, dude.
Drake's biggest problem is that he's a cornball, but he doesn't want to just go into that. Like, mm-hmm. just be the cornball.
Lean into it.
You're like, look at who you were before your rap career. You were this
Degrassi.
Dweeb.
Dude,
and then all of a sudden
Jimmy,
he's
dude.
Like, hey, what's up? I'll fucking shoot everybody. It's like,
yeah,
shut the fuck up.
We're not
dude.
Buying it, dude.
You should have just stuck to your sing-songy love thing, which is what he was saying.
Exactly.
And then he brings out his diss track and his sing-songy love shit. It's
like, and I feel like that's what a lot of people like when they look at Drake. That's how
what,
I feel.
That's what yeah. we like you for.
I like Hotline
Bling, man.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah. Why do this whole shit like I'll fuck you up? She's
nah,
fucking nobody up. Shut
I don't believe
the fuck
it.
Up.
I don't
fuck
believe
you
it.
Up like I fuck kids.
Like I fuck kids. Yeah. Dude. I'm going to touch you up like I touch kids.
Yeah.
Stop saying it, Drake. It's not helping you.
Maybe that's why he likes Kendrick because Kendrick's so short.
Yeah. He's a little guy, dude.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You know what? Speaking about what David is doing right now, dropping them bombs, did you guys see the Netflix roast of Tom Brady?
Oh, let me tell you something.
Anything you like? Hey. Anything David so approved?
Dude, Kill Tony hurt my feelings, dude.
Dude. He's
you
so good.
About Tony Hinchcliffe, dude? I was like, those are incredible. All jokes that I feel like most people would say, but they would never say it out loud in public.
Oh, my God, bro. It was making me go, ooh.
I loved it.
It was so good, though. Everybody was laughing.
I was shocked that was live on Netflix.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
People were groaning a bunch when he did his set, dude. But it was so good.
Dude, Kevin Hart cracked me the fuck up, too.
I didn't watch all of it. I only saw Tony Hinchcliffe, and I saw up to the Jeff Ross where he says, I'm dressed like OJ.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to kill this white bitch.
That's that what those roasts are. Those roasts are meant to hurt.
Yeah, of
so
course.
It's what it's supposed to be. So you're supposed to say the most salacious shit. And I think that this generation, they're not used to that.
It's forgotten.
And I figured that out. Like a few years back when I saw a lot of young people like make fun of other people online and the biggest issue was like, you're not even relevant. And they're like, you just got roasted. I was like, that's called roasting? Like that's like their level of roasting.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Back in the day, they went, your dead parents. They don't give a fuck.
You're an industry plant.
Yeah.
That's like
that's
a
roast.
I don't know
Bobby,
what that means.
Dead.
Yeah. It was kind of refreshing to see that shit, dude. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Do you
I
feel could, like it's making a comeback for like
I
crude jokes?
I love that Netflix is the one that
yeah.
did this.
They needed to though.
I think like comedy is on the comeback now of becoming funnier.
Yeah.
Or now it's gonna be a balance of are people just gonna say stuff just to do shock value content or is it actually fucking funny? Because if it like I've said you could even go back to all my old videos. I said 2 years ago. The pendulum swung too far this way. Now it's going to go too far here. And now I feel like we're right in the good sweet spot, but it's going to go here where we're going to have a lot of content creators just doing stupid shit saying that it's comedy just because it's, you know, it's offensive. But that's not comedy. It has to be creative.
Yeah.
So we're going to see that probably in the next year as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Dana White for doing 60 Seconds too. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see Dana White stuff and I don't care.
No need to.
Yeah. See? Exactly.
No need to.
I love Dana White and I'm going to just.
I saw the first like 15 seconds of it and I was like, I'll just save it for the show.
Yeah.
We'll watch it on the show together. we'll do a live reaction.
All you need is Tony Hinchcliffe and Nikki Glaser.
Yeah. That's and it. Max Holloway in the crowd. Yeah. Sean O'Malley in the crowd.
Yep.
All right, guys. Let's get into this card. UFC 301. People were worried about this card because it was after UFC 300.
And they were kind of right.
Yeah.
As you guys said, it's the quickest card in the game.
First of all, Brazil, you are so disrespectful towards the sport of MMA. The audacity. First of all, not just because the show was a little empty, but it was like after their fighter fought that they liked, they just walked out and left. The fakest fucking fight fans I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, shit.
And it's supposed to be like the place of like MMA, right?
Yeah.
Fake fucking fight fans, dude. You had already walked out before Alexander Pantoja and Steve Carell fought. That shit.
That's sad. That's really sad.
That is ridiculous.
Steve Ersig, dude.
No, not Steve Carell.
All right. Guy from the office?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
How fucking dare you, dude? They just walked out.
Yeah.
Fake fight fans. Brazil. You're a dump.
Hey. David Covington sold me.
Maybe the main event for them was Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
He's the king of Rio.
Callback from a previous fighter. I'm not saying that, just to let you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we're not saying that.
Yeah, and if Colby you didn't know
Covington
that joke, fake fight fan.
Fake casual.
Yeah.
Paul Craig, Caio Barrillo.
Caio Barrillo, dude.
Barrillo.
Why is Paul Craig at middleweight?
He did well at middleweight for his debut.
Yeah.
But then now he's on a two-fight skid.
Yeah, I don't think this is his weight class. Number one, Caio Barrillo is way
Caio
smaller than
Barrillo.
Him. And you could tell, look, I'm not saying that shot on Paul Craig wasn't great, but
it wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good to knock him out.
It wasn't that good.
So it was like, Paul Craig is definitely drained at this weight class. I don't think Paul Craig at 205 would have got knocked out by a shot like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's drained. Now, having said that, has Paul Craig ever thrown a punch before in his life? Probably not.
When you said shot, I thought you meant his shots on Kyle Barrio, because I was like, oh yeah, those, those shots were not, he's talking about the KO blow.
No, the KO blow too was good, but then I think that a 205er, yeah. Paul Craig, would have been fine.
He would have eaten that.
He would have eaten that. Also too, with, how do you say his last name?
Barrio.
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 I just, I like saying his name as a fun little thing. So that's
Paul Craig just
it.
Kept spamming these kicks up the middle. Paul Craig had not, I had no idea how bad his striking was.
And he kept pulling guard. I was like, brother, you can't pull guard on these Brazilian black belts.
That's what Paul Craig does, doesn't he? That's like his whole thing.
And you think he's going to play that game?
But it's also like, you know, as the more fights go on, people are watching tape on you.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to know that, like, okay, he's going to try to pull, so.
I'm going
to
get out.
Yeah, I'm going to disengage. And I'm sure Kyle Barrio could grapple with Paul Craig, but it's like,
but
why not just stand up and, you know, try to KO him? Especially if that was such, he was just walking towards him the whole time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, yeah, why doesn't he have a little bit more striking? Why didn't he use a little bit more?
It just goes.
It was an odd strategy.
He has like the strategy of what I, like Mackenzie Dern, right? They just, they fall in love with a certain part of their game that they're trying to prove that they can do something is what I feel, even though he's good at this one position. But what are you doing to get into the position that you're good at?
Yeah.
And they just, it's that disconnect. It's very old MMA. Mm. And I don't like that. Because like Paul Craig too, I mean, look at his resume. He has beaten great people, but it was only in the positions that he's great at. And he kind of fell into it. But now they have tape. We're not going to let you do that to me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make this a standing game now because we know how good you are off your back.
Well, yeah, why would we go to your best spots?
Why?
Unless you have something to prove, but that's probably not the best way to fight fighters at this level.
I just don't think that it is. And, you know, that motherfucker's fast.
You don't like the blonde hair, though?
He looks
the blonde
hair. Looks like a cool villain.
How did he grow his hair back? It's amazing. Maybe all of his
strength. Probably PRP or something.
All of his strength went into his bald spot. That's what happened, dude. It's terrible.
Kyle Barrio.
All right, let's move over to this next fight. Michael Pereira versus Ihor. Dude. Backflips and choking out the same submission win as his last fight. I mean, or are you guys kind of like gross?
Disqualified, dude. He kneed him in the head when he landed.
Yeah, is that legal?
I guess so.
I don't think it's legal.
It's not.
He landed on his chest first, and then I think the knee kind of hit his face.
Yeah.
So I think they're letting it go, but I feel like the next time he does that, they're going to disqualify
him. There's no rule for it yet, I don't think, because they've never had a guy who backflips and knees people in the head. So it's like, it's probably going to be one of those situations from here on out. If it keeps happening, they'll have a rule for it.
I'm pretty sure.
But I don't know what. I don't know if that's a gray area, if that's okay.
How strong is this fool, too? He knocked him down with a jab.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fucking weird.
As soon as the bell rang, he's running towards him. So that's Michel Pereira.
When you guys watch Michel, right? Do you go like, oh my god, I love this kind of fighting style, or do you go like, ah, sloppy? Like aesthetically for you guys when you watch.
I don't think it's sloppy, right? I think what it is that there is a way, there is a good path to beat him though, and you saw it in the fight where I think he got TKO'd or he got choked out, but. There's no free lunch, right? Mm. Every fighter has a caveat. There's no way you could expend that energy for 5 rounds.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that way, right? Especially as he gets older, number one, he couldn't be in the 170 weight class anymore. That's
already
knocked off, so he had to go up. When he's in this weight class, what happens when somebody can go to round 3, 4, and 5 with him as he's doing these backflips and everything else? In the fight that he lost to that other guy, I don't remember his name right now, he weathered the storm and he beat the shit out of Michel Pereira. Mm-hmm. So for him, is it sloppy? No, it's very technical. He's crisp. He's fast. He's very explosive.
He's scary.
He's scary.
He's definitely a problem.
But what happens to a fighter that's not scared of that shit? And he's like, look, I know your fucking game. I just got to weather this storm out and just wait till you slow down just a little bit. And you'll see that a little bit in the main card fight, too, with what happened with Pantoja.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if a guy like Sean Strickland would easily walk through Michel, honestly. Like, I just feel like that.
Yeah, like.
Where he's like, okay, cool. Keep doing that shit.
Yeah.
Tired.
He's okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does with some of the vets in the sport, especially at 185.
Who's seen this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Who's seen, like, the explosive first round. Because his first round is pretty ridiculous.
It's scary.
You know, but.
But what a fucking.
Like, can he do that against, like, a Marvin Vettori of, I don't know, of all people that I named, but can he do that against a Jared Cannonier?
Cool.
I don't know. Like, what's that fight going to look like?
Dude, that's standing.
I would bet on Jared Cannonier if they fought.
It's almost like I could feel his vertebrae pop.
Oh, bro.
It was so tight, and he was just cranking that shit. Oh my God. If there was no crowd sound, I'm pretty sure you would have heard a couple of pops.
Oh, dude, he was wrecked too. He got rocked from that jab. He was like looking up at the lights.
It was bad.
Bro, question. In a standing guillotine, obviously these guys are doing BJJ, so they're kind of sinking the choke. Is there, from that position, is there a world we can do like a movie like snap and kill someone?
Maybe. But in my head, I thought Porturia could have fought the hands a little bit more. Just like pulling the glove, something. But he was rocked, so he just was out. But I guess in a perfect world, if you want to see someone's neck get broken, yeah. Gilbert,
I'm
kind of
waiting for like,
Christ.
How the fuck hasn't this happened?
What kind of question
like,
is that,
man? You know, like Aquino, the fucking, like the
heel
like,
hook?
Yeah, like, what if he was doing that shit? Like, I would just fucking snap people's neck.
Yeah, there's no like rotation in it.
He was fighting and then suddenly an eagle landed on him. He's like, yo, where am I?
You want some fatalities, bro? What's going on, dog?
He's a Mortal Kombat character. Fucking crazy.
Is there a way I could punch him and he could fall on a bunch of spikes? What the hell, man?
All right. Anthony Smith finally back in the win column. The vet got it done.
Hey, my brother, first, dude.
Let's go.
Plus man. 425. That's pretty crazy. And shout out to the previous fight card before this one. Anthony Smith's twin got a W.
Got a W. Yep.
So they're both back-to-back dubs, yo.
They don't have to fight each other.
They might have to.
No, it's going to be the Spider-Man thing. What an interesting fight matchup, right? One of the ugliest guys against one of the best-looking dudes.
Petrino, dude, his arms look like the heaviest things I've ever seen. Him trying to throw jabs, I'm like, hey, man.
Lead.
Maybe you should get smaller triceps, dog.
Maybe don't work out.
Your triceps are too big, bro.
This guy's a fucking specimen, dude.
It's ridiculous. His triceps look like my hamstrings.
Did you see those, like, overhands that he missed? It was so scary. Wham! I'm like, oh, shit! You know what? Let's talk about Anthony Smith for a second, right? Because we already know what happened.
What are we going to do with this guy?
He hit the little guillotine or whatever, right? And I was listening to his post-fight interview. And look, Anthony Smith gets a lot of hate for a couple of reasons. Number one.
He says some wild shit.
It honestly started with the John Jones comment.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, he's not particularly good at anything.
He's not even that good.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what this angle is. He might have to explain that a little better.
You know what it is? It's like, I understand what he's saying, and he's right. He is right in the way of like, he's not a specialist. He's not like Pereira's, his left hook, his kickboxing is like his best thing.
Yeah.
John Jones, I don't really know what his best thing is.
It's MMA.
It's how he puts everything together. But it just sounds bad when you've lost to him and you're trying to say it.
In a terrible, terrible fashion.
Yeah. And then Michael Bisping's like, I don't know. But like, I get what he said.
And you know, with like Anthony Smith as well, because he was saying that I get a lot of shit because I'm an analyst and I'm also a fighter, but DC, he's retired and he doesn't get the shit. He says the same thing as me. Here's the difference. The difference is DC is a double champ.
Mm.
He has the pedigree to say what he has to say, right? Yes, Anthony Smith has a lot of fights under his belt, right? But when somebody is below somebody else in terms of fighter ranking and accomplishments and criticizes them, it for the regular fan, it's going to sound like you're a fucking hater, even if you're an analyst or not. So you can't make the comparison with you and DC. DC says stuff from a state of a double fucking champ who has defended both belts multiple times. So, yeah, it's going to come off a lot more sincere. And I think sometimes with Anthony Smith, what he forgets is like, listen, dude, you can say as much as you want, but people only remember you as your last fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So when somebody is, quote unquote, on this losing streak and he gets his ass beat by, you know, Khalil Rountree, and then you're talking big next, it's going to sound fucking weird.
Yeah. There's a disconnect with some of the fans, I'm sure.
He also mentioned this other thing for him as an analyst. It also brings criticism to him as well, where he was saying that, I don't think a lot of people know this about me. I'm a grappler. How the fuck would we have known that? When have you ever fucking grappled in a fight? So how the fuck are the fans wrong for that shit? Your fighting style. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's going off on people like, oh, you don't know that I'm actually a grappler, dude. I love jujitsu. When in the fuck have you ever started your fight like that? How the fuck is that our fault? You're the one striking all the fucking time. Like, what is he talking about?
And then he goes out there and gets gilly, dude. Gets a little gilly. Was it a guillotine?
It was a gilly, baby.
A little gilly.
And look, that was sick as fuck. I just thought that was really weird for him to say. Like, you're attacking the fans. Like, how do you not know this about me? How the fuck do you mean? 50 fights, you never fucking went for somebody's hips. What are you talking about? And I follow this guy. So I was like, hold on a second. That's our bad?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Gargoyle?
Lionheart, dude. That's
I love this guy, too. I just thought that was a weird thing for him to say.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you guys not know, like, this is my thing. I grapple. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about anything else. I only care about my black belt. Okay. Like, every fight you start, it starts with you standing, then getting pieced up, and then you grab your skull like this. For dude, some fucking reason, his defense every time when he gets overwhelmed is to grab his skull like this and get cracked.
Yeah.
No counters.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why he would think that we would ever understand that grappling was his thing.
Because you should know everything about him, dude.
Yeah, I should.
That's on you. That's on you, dude.
I was with him until he insulted me
as a fan.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen you do a double leg in my life, dude.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Now that you're thinking about it, I'm like, yeah. I feel like he's mostly a striker in my head.
How are we supposed to know
in
that?
My mind, striker.
Yeah, I thought he was a striker,
when
too.
When I think of the fights that I've seen him in.
I wonder how many submission wins he has.
Didn't he get a couple guillotines?
He's had a couple of submission wins, yeah.
We looked like 12 guillotines.
You're like, oh, shit, this guy's the guillotine king of the UFC.
I remember him, Rashad Evans, framing off, throwing the fucking knee. I remember his amazing jabs.
Mm.
Like, I remember his stand-up. I remember him throwing, when he fought Pejeda's coach. Former fighter, former champion.
Glover.
Glover.
Was fighting Glover. The jab crosses, pullback crosses. I remember his stand-up. I don't remember any of his ground game.
Yeah.
I don't remember him dropping levels and shooting. I don't remember
any. I want to see how many subs he has. And if it's below 10, he's not a grappler, brother.
Hey, guy has like
he's not a grappler.
Fights under his belt.
Yeah, because he has a ton of fights,
he's
right?
He's been fighting since he was a fetus.
Dude, all right. He has 38 wins. Oh, shit. 38 wins, 15 by submission. But he has 20 by KO, TKO.
Okay, bro.
So technically, he's more of a striker.
He's a striker.
That's out of 60,000 fights.
Okay, the last.
All right. He really has fought.
Okay, so the last.
So much.
The last win he had with a submission was in 2021 against Ryan Spann. Then he submitted Devin Clark with the triangle choke.
Okay.
Okay. He submitted Gustafson with a rear naked. Oh, shit. Vulcan, rear naked.
All right. He's got.
Oh, shit. Maybe.
Hey,
okay. We didn't watch these fights.
Turn that off.
But
no.
Also, okay,
that off.
To be fair, there's a ton of TKOs in between.
But that's not it, though. How does the fight always start with him? Does he has he ever gone to shoot at somebody?
Nah, he's striking. He's striking.
Or was somebody shooting towards him and then he started doing shit?
For example, when I think of Damian Maia. Grappler. Why? He goes for the double leg.
Yes.
Goes for the
dude, he he lost to Roger Gracie. I was about to say. Yeah, so he mostly gets subs before he got into the UFC. It was mostly submissions. That's how he would win.
Well, you know what, Anthony Smith? We only watch UFC.
Yeah. Your face.
Joke's on you.
You know what, Anthony Smith? I apologize.
You're a very good grappler. Wrong.
But we were still kind of right.
We're still kind of right, dude. I remember you for your striking, so my bad. Apologies. Keep grabbing your skull.
So Anthony Smith, man, what do we do with him? Former contender. He's at 10. He's kind of at the end stages of his career, possibly. Johnny Walker above him. Khalil's already got a fight. Nikita.
Man, he got
Ratchik is up there.
Krylov.
Well, I don't know if Ratchik is going to be a good idea for him.
Ratchik is a tough fight.
I mean, it's pretty good. He's a striker. Anthony Smith's a striker. Striker versus striker.
he's going to do this. I don't know why. Can you explain to me why he closes guard like this and then he just gets pieced up? Like, I don't understand what the because every time I see him do that, I'm expecting him to draw them in so he could level change or he could throw a counter. But he just sits there and gets pieced up.
Maybe. I think that's just a default. Just what you do when you're
tired, getting
maybe tired, getting
in
cracked.
The first round,
and then you're just
the first minute.
Hey, those gloves are small, dude. They'll crack you. But yeah, if I were coaching Anthony Smith, I'd be like, yeah, let's try not to do that as much as possible. Let's try not to put our back against the cage.
He called his fans
and cover up,
and I thought that was super weird of him. How dare you, dude?
Don't call us stupid, man. We like you.
Don't call the fans stupid, dude. Yes, we are stupid.
I forgot who was saying this. I think it was a sports analyst. I think it was Stephen A. Smith, actually. It was an article that came out. I didn't read it because why would I read?
Yeah.
But it said, MMA fans are dumb.
You know what?
He kind of not wrong, kind of.
You know what? All sports fans are kind of dumb.
But that's also very true.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing that fighters or people who are in elite positions don't fucking understand. If we could do what you do, do you think we'd be fucking watching you?
Yeah, we're normies, dude.
The reason why you guys have a career is because normies want to watch you be excellent.
Yeah.
Of course we don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Nah,
if we did, We wouldn't watch you. We'd be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's their, by the way, that's their defense. If you could do what I'm doing, you'd be right here.
I can't do it though, bro. Yeah.
Which is why we're paying the pay-per-view to watch you fight. What are you talking
and
about?
And sometimes it doesn't work on ESPN Plus. I can't watch it.
Bro, the ESPN app is one of the worst fucking apps ever.
Thank you for saying that, dude.
It is. They need ESPN. You guys need to figure something out.
Interesting. David's quiet. It's like he doesn't use the app.
I'll tell you this. I don't disrespect anything that Dana White isn't part of, right? You guys don't fucking know who you're talking about. He was the best roaster on that.
Put a clip up.
Don't ever disrespect Dana White ever again.
Dana White could do no wrong.
All right, you got a lot of submissions, all right? Maybe I was just a little hurt that you just called all the fans stupid.
Yeah.
Look, we're just butthurt, man.
Just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it out loud.
I'm not fucking dumb, dude. Yeah. I fucking know what a guillotine is.
Yeah, I know what a guillotine is.
Guillotine?
Gobbytongue? You know what a gobbytongue is?
Yeah, you don't know. I'm gobbytongue all the time.
Gobbytongue.
All right, guys. Jonathan Martinez. This dude was like on a 6-fight win streak. Everyone was saying, oh, why are they giving Jose Aldo him? Because Jose was supposed to fight Dominic Cruz.
Really?
That was the fight that was supposed to happen. That's what brought Jose back, was like, I'll fight Dominic all day, former champ. Guess what? Jose's been out of the game. He's been boxing, and it looks like when you just box and don't work on MMA for 2 years, you win.
Yeah.
You're still the king.
Woo!
Wow. Great fight.
This looks like Jose Aldo never retired.
He's 37 and still looks like his younger
self. Oh, I thought he was younger than that.
And he got a sleeve. That's why, boy.
It's a sleeve, huh?
The sleeve is what it is, honestly.
It's a brown skin head. I like it.
A
brown skin head, baby. Let's go.
That what?
It's interesting. Before I watched this fight, I was saying that Jonathan Martinez is going to have... I was actually surprised when you told me that Jose Aldo was the underdog.
Yeah.
And just because on paper...
Plus 190 or something.
It doesn't look good for Jonathan Martinez because his biggest advantage are those leg kicks.
Mm.
And you're fighting somebody who checks leg kicks better than anybody in UFC history.
Yeah.
If you go back and you look at the fight between Jose Aldo and Pedro Munhoz, Munhoz is heavily relies on his calf kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Aldo checked every single one.
And his defense overall is just crazy, right? Like, because anytime you throw something at him, like a body kick, he's throwing heat right at your fucking face. Like, the shots that he steps in and tries to crack Jonathan Martinez with, I'm like, oh my God. I would not want to stand in front of that guy and throw low kicks.
It was just rockets coming at him. Especially the straight cross to the body.
Everything just looked so clean, so I'm polished. Popping. His timing looked good. And he fought like in boxing range.
Yeah.
He wasn't staying in that kicking range. Because I felt like if Jonathan Martinez could stand outside and kick, I could see him maybe coast to a win. But I was like, man, that's hard to do against Jose just because he's so good everywhere. If it's a striking fight, Jose got a huge chance to win.
And I thought Jose was really smart about when to engage and when to disengage.
Because
there were points where you could tell because he was throwing such heat, he was getting a little tired. So he circled off on the cage, started using his defense towards the end of the rounds, took that minute rest to charge back up, and he was back in the fire again. And what a veteran move in the third fucking round where he knew he was tired.
Got the takedown.
And he got the fucking takedown.
And he
got,
I think Jonathan Martinez did this.
Yep.
Showed up.
Oh, Anthony Smith.
Beautiful.
Anthony Smith, baby.
Yep.
Covered the ball head. And then Jose Aldo dumped him. It was a beautiful takedown. And it just made me get fired up because I was like, all right, what's next for Jose?
Is he gonna stay?
Apparently, it was like a free agent fight. So he's a free agent.
This is his last fight on his contract.
I guess. Or was it?
It was last fight.
Shit. He's thinking about signing again, but obviously it has to be for bigger money.
You think he's going to re-sign?
Maybe.
UFC
he's 37, brother.
I mean, he'll re-sign if the money's right.
Do you think he's making more money in boxing?
Dude, he did like 2 fights in boxing, maybe.
I mean, he's already made a crap ton of money with UFC for now, especially towards the end of his career. They were such big cards.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Martinez, I don't think he's ever faced competition like Jose Aldo.
It's a big step up.
Yeah,
huge.
I mean, that's why I was surprised that Jose Aldo was the underdog.
Yeah.
It's not like Jose Aldo was sitting on a fucking couch.
No, absolutely.
Boxing. He was fighting still.
Absolutely. I think Vegas looks at the age. They'll get the time off, you know. Because I was a little hesitant to put money on Jose, but I should have. When I saw the odds, when he was walking out, they put the odds. It was plus 190 or 200. And I was like, oh, that would have been perfect.
Just kind of... You know, I think the strength and speed of Jose Aldo is so scary. You saw Jonathan biting on all these feints.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh. He was changing in that fight. He came out really confident and looked good. And then once he started feeling Jose.
Dude, he wobbled Jonathan Martinez hard,
bro.
It was bad. He was just on fucking wobbly legs.
Chito wants to fight Jose next for the rematch.
He called him out for the rematch.
That'd be a fun fight.
You know, I looked at Jose in this fight, watching the highlights, and I go, Mac, it just reminds me how good Max Holloway is.
Yeah.
He fucking beat this guy twice.
Twice.
Well, he's not scared to engage, Joe.
In Brazil, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
And he KO'd him. Fuck.
Jose. I know.
So who Jose Aldo, matchmaker, really quick. Do we, if he does re-sign with UFC, do we throw him in like top five? Does he get a run, or is this more like big fights type of career point? He's 37.
Maybe big fights, yo.
Big fight. He doesn't need to chase.
Let's look at the roster.
135, once again, is insane, dude.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
135 is absolutely insane. So I think Chito is a good matchup for him. You know, maybe if he runs it back on Merab. Yeah, right.
Give him Cody Garbrandt.
Ooh,
that's easy fight.
Nah, brother, I don't want to see that.
That's easy fight.
I don't want to see that.
Hands versus hands, dude.
Maybe him and versus Davison.
Oh, let's go.
Oh!
Davison, Figueiredo, and Jose Aldo. I
champ
love that.
Versus champ.
Ooh.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, you got Amir, you got Kai Kara France, Alex Perez, Makhayev.
No, that's 125.
Oh, wait, shit, 135.
I want to be
Sean O'Malley right away.
Sean O'Malley was like, yo, I'd fight Jose.
I mean, that's a great legacy fight for Sean O'Malley.
It's a good matchup for him,
it's
too.
It's a... Yeah, I mean, stylistically, though, that might be more problematic for Jose just because Sean sticks and moves really fucking
well. Yeah, he's like a Max Holloway at 135.
Yeah, he's not going
with cooler hair.
It's a big fight. Henry Cejudo? No.
Yeah, absolutely. I got excited about that one. Nobody else did.
Henry Cejudo. Like, yeah!
Yeah!
I just don't want to see Henry fight anymore.
That too.
I think I'm pretty much done with it.
Yeah, after that Merab fight, I was kind of like, yeah... This is kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
Like watching Henry come back. Cause it's like, dude, you could have just been fighting during his time. And I bet you would be at a different place that more people would want to watch.
The way I see Jose kind of finishing off his career is just exciting fights.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see somebody with the best takedown defense versus somebody who wrestles. That's just going to be a hug face like the Merab fight.
Yeah.
And they're going to give it to the fucking wrestler. And I don't want to see that shit. People are going to start booing. They're going to throw shit. Fuck that. Give Jose Aldo somebody who has hands and let's have them bang it out.
Crazy pitch.
Good.
John Jones.
Sanhagen.
Tom Aspinall.
Tom Aspinall.
Weight belt. I would not be mad for Jose Aldo if he goes up in weight and a Conor McGregor.
A rematch?
Conor McGregor's 215 pounds.
Yeah.
I think Jose Aldo smokes Conor McGregor.
Dude, kind of.
I think he smokes Conor McGregor.
It would be sick for Jose. Yeah.
Dante.
Jose. Nah, it would be sick for Jose to get to fight Conor again and to rematch for that 6-second KO.
A proper fight.
I went back to watch that movie again just to see.
Loved it, huh?
Loved it.
Dude, it was worse than the first time.
It was bad. Oh. Why would you watch? That's a movie you don't watch more than once.
You have any idea how bad his acting is to the point where half of his dialogue was ADR?
What are you talking about, Connor?
Yeah.
It's, you know, the back of his head, you see the head moving, but it doesn't match the words.
Half of his dialogue was ADR. That means he couldn't get the lines right.
Nick doesn't believe it.
And they had to do his fucking audio after. Half the movie, his voice was ADR.
Maybe the Moonbike guy sucked. I don't know. Don't blame it.
What's a Moonbike?
Maybe the Moonbike.
What's a Moonbike?
The Moonbike.
Hey, dog, that is
the Moonbike, dog. Term.
Feel the
what's
rhythm.
Moonbike?
Feel the ride.
Huh? Like, we need to ADR your voice for this podcast.
It's the guy that does this.
That's crazy.
We're going to ADR
his voice. That's fucking crazy.
Hey, Moonbike.
Whoever's editing this, Michael, you gotta change
Mumbai
my voice.
Mumbai is a place in India, dude.
Mike's gotta use his Australian voice.
Hey, what's Mumbai?
Boomerang Mike.
Why don't you tell him to go to Mumbai?
Yeah, dude, the Mumbai guy.
Fucking chutia, motherfucker. Mumbai!
Mumbai guy.
Where's the Mumbai guy?
All right, Pantoja versus Steve Carell. I think a lot of people were surprised. Steve Carell came in there and kind of... I think he's a mainstay in the division now, no?
You got hands, bro.
Hey, I wasn't surprised at all. I was actually kind of shocked how well Alexandre Pantoja out-scrambled Steve Urseg.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Urseg knew what he was doing, too. It's just he was better. Pantoja was just better.
I think Pantoja just kind of wanted it more.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just felt like in those moments, he just was... He wasn't waiting. As soon as he got to the back, he was changing to a different position, taking him down. I feel like Urseg had, like, that last round. I think that's what kind of lost him the fight.
Yeah, it sealed the deal was the last round.
Because he went for that beautiful takedown, got to the back, and then he rolled for the knee bar, and then Pantoja ended up on top.
I didn't understand. I feel like Urseg's pride was a little hurt in the first four rounds because he kept getting out scrambled. So in that last round, he wanted to prove a point. Like, those were all mistakes, and watch me just dominate this fool on the ground, just to kind of change the narrative of the first four rounds. And I thought that was stupid because Steve Ursek was doing a great job. He weathered the storm in the first two rounds, and Alexander Pantoja was getting tired.
Yeah, he was out striking him too, it felt like. It felt like he was doing the more like damaging blows.
He got the rhythm. He got his timing down, right? In those, in between those flurries, elbow. Whang!
Bro, that elbow that cut him up.
Bro.
I'm surprised Pantoja didn't fucking break, you know? But that's why he champ.
Dude, he hit him with a fucking, I think it was an elbow and then to a fucking hook.
Left hook.
Chin.
Ate it.
Nothing happened.
And then you watch the slow-mo. He gets rocked. His eyes get rocked. And then he looks right back at him. I'm like, oh, that guy, he's
that
in the zone.
That doesn't make any sense at all because it was a picture-perfect textbook hook to the jaw. Oof. And then Pantoja didn't feel it at all.
No.
So what do you do at that point? But Steve Ursek still had heart, and he was still timing him, hitting him with those elbows constantly. And I think he just had a really good pace. It's like, look, I'm not going to waste my energy with this guy because he's just going to keep rushing me. He weathered that first round out. Then you saw him in the second, third, and the fourth round, kept timing him. Bam! He started using his reach a little more, pressing him towards the cage. But then Pantoja's corner did gave him good advice of like, look, you can't get cornered. You have to press him forward.
And as soon as he did that, changed the game.
Done.
And that was like, what, the fourth round, fifth round?
It was such a good fucking matchup, dude.
But I'm glad that there's a legit contender that's different than Moreno and Figueiredo at 125.
It's the same dudes at the top.
So we'll see what happens.
Next fight is going to be Moreno and Steve Ursek. Watch.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that's going to be a good matchup, but I think, who knows, because Moreno and Pantoja was neck and neck.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck?
He might smoke him.
Yeah.
But he might smoke him. Steve, maybe a Kai Car of France and Steve.
That's that a good one. Good. But Steve needs a little, I feel like, PR training. He needs to, like, a little bit. Have you heard him talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
But, you know, it's he's number 10. I bet he didn't think he was going to get a title shot.
I think everybody was either locked up in fights or some shit, right?
Yeah.
Because this was a last-minute thing.
And they needed him to headline Brazil.
Yeah, so it was a last-minute thing.
Because Moreno's out for a while.
Yeah, he's taking a break.
Like a
good. He's fighting way too much anyway.
He needs to chill, bro.
Yeah.
He needs to chill.
That fool got a dog in him.
He fought 8 fights against 2 people. Like, fucking 4 years, dude.
He just needs a break and a refresh.
Poor guy.
All right, did you guys see the Canelo and Munia
fight? Yeah, I caught from round 7 onward. And apparently, dude, Canelo was standing in front of this guy, Muniga, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Munia. That guy was tall as shit.
Big boy.
Huge.
And he was towering over Canelo, and I was like, okay, the size might be a problem, but Canelo just playing his game, just tight, just slipping everything, coming back with beautiful counter shots. He dropped him with that uppercut, and he was landing that left body hook to the, anytime I watch Canelo fight, I'm always looking out for the left body hook.
It looks painful every time.
Dude, it's so money the way he throws it.
I get concerned. The only reason why I thought it was, I wouldn't say an easy fight for Canelo, but having a conversation with a couple of buddies of mine, they're like, who do you think is going to win? I was like, Canelo has this in the bag and it's going to be by knockout. Yeah. Is what I felt. The only reason why is that when you have a Mexican fighter who fights another Mexican fighter, that style tends to lean towards Canelo because they like that dog fight.
Yeah.
That zone one.
And he's not going to play that shit.
Don't play that with Canelo. He loves that shit. Why do you think he shells up? He's baiting you because that's his world. And you saw the young man walk forward, and as he's getting tired, he touches glove to glove. You think you're going to do that with fucking Canelo? You're not. And I knew that was going to happen. Mm. And that was the story. So, because after I watched Canelo fight Bivol, right? I was like, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
Just not play
just
with
pour
that.
Pour it on.
Exactly. And then stick and move out.
Speaking of Bivol, he's fighting this guy who's the boxing Khabib, who looks just like Khabib. His name is Artur Beterbiev. Have you seen Beterbiev?
No.
Beterbiev,
I think.
Beterbiev? Whatever.
What about him?
They're going to fight each other. Bivol and Beterbiev, that's going to be one of the craziest fucking fights.
I need to do some research on that.
Dude, you got to, okay, whoever's watching this, start watching, get ready for this fight because it's going to be fucking insane. I cannot wait.
The style of Bivol is so interesting because it's like, it's that Russian, like, weird bounce, that long hook. You know, the long hooks and then just that rangy thing. I'm like, how the fuck do you box like that? That's
like
so hard.
It's like karate boxing.
Yeah, kind of weird way. Kazakhstani boxing, dude. Yeah.
It's so hard. It's like, how do you box like that? How are you not tired? It's exhausting.
And then Beterbiev is just like, he walks forward and is a, he's a pressure fighter. He just punches you in the fucking face and the body and makes you tired. So it's going to be cool to see how these guys, how this fight plays out.
Yeah, we got a little internet. Shout out to the internet.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were. This is before the fight, Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya were going at it.
Anytime Canelo curses in Spanish, in English.
Motherfucker!
Yeah.
Bro.
Motherfucker!
Bro, I can listen to him speak. He's a fucking asshole.
Him.
Fucking
pussy.
Bro, what's the deal with Oscar fucking always trying to start shit with people? People fucking hate this guy, huh?
He seems like a funny guy, dude.
He's a promoter now. Yeah, he's doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing exactly what he wants.
He knows what he's doing. But Canelo's hilarious because what did he say to Caleb Plant? You don't talk about my mother. You called me a motherfucker. You clearly know what motherfucker means. You lying, stupid-ass motherfucker. He lied. He knows what motherfucker means. He's using it right now. You talk about my mother. Okay, him. Come on, buddy.
He's a fucking pussy.
Motherfucking pussy motherfucker.
And we got another boxing fight. Just a quick recap on Inoue.
Hey, this is way better.
He's so sick.
Bro.
Hey, you kind of playing around too much in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, drop.
When was the last time he got knocked down? I feel like that doesn't
He's never been knocked down. Yeah. That was his first time he ever got knocked down.
Have you guys seen his sparring footage?
Look at his eyes. Oh, shit.
His sparring footage? Shit. These guys are knocking each other out, man. He spars so fucking
Japanese
hard.
These people are kind of wild when they spar. I was watching some Muay Thai even just sparring. Like, dude, they're trying to knock each other out.
Oh, yeah, bro.
In Japan. And then, I don't know if it's going to work, but... Dude, at the end, he comes back and fucking knocks this dude.
I think he knocked down Luis Neri 3 times after. It was a lot.
He got it back.
It was twice or 3 times. I got to watch the fight again.
Dude, he's got great body shots. He just seems like he has crazy power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. He's a freak. They're going to try to get him to move up a little bit, but he's like 120 pounds.
He's so small.
Yeah, he's a tiny guy.
It's Mike Tyson's favorite fighter. Isn't that crazy? Mike Tyson says, this guy, if he was my weight, heavyweight, he would destroy me. Dude, that's praise.
That's so cool. Yeah, he's fun to watch, man. I'm a big fan of him.
All right, so John Jones contemplates heavyweight future as return date looms. So they agreed to the Stipe fight, but nothing is set on paper yet. Obviously, Tom Aspinall is sitting out there, and John lately has been talking about even Alex Pereira. What do you think? Because I know you've talked about, like, you just want to have one more fight and leave.
And then go fuck off, man.
What do you think he actually does? I know what you want, which is Stipe and bounce. Based off kind of like the chess pieces on the board, what do you think actually he would do?
All I know is that John Jones, when he retires, there's going to be so much shit about him getting in trouble.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that calms his inner beast is him being in this cage.
Absolutely, because it gives him that focus. Yeah?
Exactly. Once he loses this, unless he goes into another thing that where he shifts into, it's just going to be darkness from now on. Every champion has talked about this. If I never thought about my life after this belt, I feel lost. I don't know what I'm doing. And they just have this emptiness inside. Mm. Because number one, a lot of the times when you hear about these champion fighters, what is their story? Fighting saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
So you release this thing that was a part of your religion or your savior. Mm-hmm. What are you left with? You're left with fucking nothing.
Yeah.
So unless they've already made that transition outside of this, I'm scared to see what's going to happen to John Jones when he's done fighting. Because he has to do something else. I don't know. Poker.
What do you think he should do?
He's not an analyst guy. I don't think he is one of those TV dudes.
Yeah.
He has to murder people for a living, I think.
I think so, too.
He has to be like a black ops mercenary or something.
Or he gets in stand-up. Oh,
even
God.
When John Jones smiles, it scares me. He has like this weird vibe that freaks
me out. It's a little creepy, dude.
A little creepy.
It's a little like ominous.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that guy. But a lot of people are saying that they need him to fight. Well, he was talking. He goes on Twitter and he's very cryptic, mm-hmm. right? He's talking about like, oh, I have a date. I'll let Dana announce it. But I think it's down to... potentially, he mentioned that he wants to fight Pereira, which is very interesting.
That's interesting.
For the first time ever, he was like, hey, let's talk about how great Pereira is. Yeah, he understands it. And style-wise, it's a good matchup for him.
Easy.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you know he can't get the takedown, which I probably think he will able to.
And I'll say this, too. If Pereira lands those fucking calf kicks on him.
That could be interesting.
Here's the thing. What people don't remember, too, John Jones has he's fought one fight within 4 years. And even when he fought his previous fight before that, that was another couple of years. He was before the time of calf kicks. So John Jones has actually never faced getting a calf kick on those tiny little legs.
Yeah, against a legit calf kicker.
So I don't know. And he's also older now, too, where his body's breaking down a little bit. So I wouldn't say it leans towards Alex Pereira coming off with a W, but there is a path to victory.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I could definitely see Pereira hurting John Jones.
Yes.
Like, right? Like, he's done that to everybody he's fought. It's not that crazy to think, right? But obviously, the big threat of the takedown is interfaces about it.
Watching that fucking Ciryl Gane John Jones fight, I thought there would be a little more stand up. Dude, he closed that gap so quick.
Yeah.
And that dude would not get up. It's crazy.
He knew what he had to do, right? And then now John Jones is also set up with, what's his name? Potentially Tom Aspinall.
Tom Aspinall.
Right.
That from Manchester? 304?
Probably not. I saw that it's rumored that he might fight Curtis Blaydes on 304, and that's the Manchester card. So I don't know if that that's legit or not. Interesting. But because he needs a fight.
Do you guys want to see John Jones fight Tom Aspinall?
Yeah, I would love to see that.
I know you like Stipe. I would love to see Tom Aspinall just to say I've cleaned out like four generations of fighters.
Yeah.
Well, no one else can ever say that.
Whether it's Aspinall or not, or whether it's a Sergey, what was the other guy he fought?
Sergey Pavlovich.
Either one, it's because he won the interim title, right? John Jones is the champ. I think it's only right that he has to fight the interim champ or whoever won that belt. If it was Pavlovich, then he should fight John Jones.
But you're not mad if he fights Stipe, wins, and walks off? Or would that bother you? I know it doesn't bother you at all.
It doesn't bother me, but it's more of like, dude, when's the last time we've seen Stipe fight?
Yeah. Also, I think Stipe now can't speak English at all.
Brother.
So who wants to listen to that press conference? Bobby Boucher.
Be put fire out.
Yeah. Like, and the funny
fire thing, bad.
I actually thought it was CTE. It's not. I went to just his old interviews. Just how we talk.
That's who he is. Stipe.
It's not even CTE. It's just him.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. Another fight announcement. We got Sanhagen stepping up to fight Umar.
Dude, in Abu Dhabi. Dude.
In
It's not?
No, it is. I'm just saying, like, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, insane.
Is it, like, fixed for, like, December or some shit?
Yeah, it might be.
It's, like, hella far from now. Dude, Corey Sanhagen has a lot of time to prepare. This one's going to go to Dagestan for a bit.
He might as well just live in Abu Dhabi for a couple months, dude. But I saw Corey Sanhagen's training with Trevor Whitman.
Oh.
I didn't know Trevor takes people in like that.
Well, you know, I think he went out there to train.
He has a slot open.
Justin Gaethje. Train with him when he was preparing for Max.
No more Rose, too.
Oh, yeah, no more Rose.
So he has a slot open.
She's retired?
No, Rose is only trains with her prep.
Pat Barry.
What's his name? Pat Barry. What the fuck did I say?
Whoa, dude.
Dude, she only trains with Drake.
Drake and Pat Barry are best friends. Listen, Pat Barry, these are all jokes.
Comedy, bro. Comedy.
I don't know anything. You guys seem to be in a loving relationship. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Whatever. It's none of my business.
Drake is present right now. I have to apologize because everybody's a fighter, and it scares me because a lot of them can't take jokes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But also, you guys can't take jokes really well. So thanks so much, guys.
Yeah.
Don't fight us. Who do you guys got for that? Sanhagen?
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. That one's a big step up for Umar.
Umar needs to fight more often, man.
But he's the thing. Who wants to fight a Nurmagomedov?
Nobody.
Nobody wants to fight that.
That's his main problem. Nobody wants to fight him.
Yeah, dude. So even if he wasn't related to him, nobody would want to fight him.
Just right? The name alone.
He's not even a fighter.
Yeah. Nurmagomedov? No, I'm good.
I'm changing my last name to Nurmagomedov. That's what it is, Nurmagomedov.
David Nurmagomedov.
My name is Nurmagomedov.
I could definitely see Corey being really tactical and outpointing Umar, right? But I could also see Umar he's a freak, dude.
This is what I see. Corey Sanhagen's going to do the best to prepare for Umar, right? He's going to move around. He's going to try to stick and move. But then once Umar grabs him, game over.
Yeah, that wrestling, no joke.
It's just different. No matter, look, Corey Sanhagen can train for the next 2 years to wrestle Umar. It's still not going to be enough. It's just not. How many times have we heard somebody say that about Khabib? I've wrestled with the best. What happens the moment he touches them? It's pretty much done.
Especially if he threatens that back take.
It's just
right?
Done.
He exposes that back and he jumps on it. It's like, oh, it's a tough spot to be. Especially in the main event.
Yeah.
Against Umar Nurmagomedov. Like, I really do feel like Umar is future champ status.
Yeah. I think Umar is going to beat Corey Sandhagen. Then Corey Sandhagen is going to have to fight Umar. And then he's going to strip that shit from Sean O'Malley as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, that division kind of fire right now.
I always go with the Nurmagomedov, dude.
Yeah. And, like, you know, all he's doing is training. And I feel like Corey Sandhagen is like that, too. Like, all he does is training because he really loves this MMA shit. But Umar is like, he got Big Brother Habib there and Islam, and he's training with the best guys in the world.
Those guys really only train.
Different level,
like,
too.
Corey's always training, but, like, maybe pick up the Xbox here, maybe go to the zoo. No, these dudes.
Maybe go to the zoo.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like these guys
out of all the things, dude.
The Denver Zoo is very popular, y'all.
Denver Zoo. Check out some tigers.
Maybe get some shit over here, crochet a sweater, too.
You know. But those dudes, just all they do is train.
I think Corey Sandhagen, too, doesn't have any hobbies besides fighting.
No, I don't
really?
Think so.
Really?
He probably makes some beats, maybe.
People literally asked him
on the 808s and shit.
Memories made in the coldest.
He's interviewed, and they've always asked him what his hobbies are. He goes, I don't have hobbies. All I do is fight.
Damn.
He has no hobbies.
And that's probably smart.
Yeah.
That's definitely smart.
Look at Max. This guy has fun every day.
Max is different level.
Is that just Hawaii? Hey.
That's Hawaii.
Just Hawaii? Let's go, baby. Best matcha. Best fucking matcha.
Let's go, Jumbi Waikiki.
If I go to a cafe and they say serum, whatever that word
ceremonial.
Is, that one?
Boombox.
I don't believe it unless it's Jumbi matcha, guys. All right?
We get some old Japanese ladies with no fingers to pick our leaves.
There you go. That's you need an Asian woman doing it.
All legal. All legal. They're doing it by choice. We love them. We pay them great.
It's not slave labor. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
For this company. I apologize. What's up?
All right, guys, let's get some quick fight picks. We got a fight night in St. Louis. We got Derek Lewis versus Nascimento. Look, I'm always going to go with the boy, Derek Lewis, because he's just fun. It's always good to have him in the conversation, so I'm going to go Derek. Nick?
Man, Rodrigo, a little scary. He's 11-1. Yeah, but
it's Derek.
Derek Lewis got the equalizer, my boy.
Yeah.
And it's
them hot balls.
And he's been a little leaner, you know what I mean? So
shit, this is hard to say. You know why this is hard? It's not because we don't know how dope these fighters are. For Derek Lewis, it's like, which Derek Lewis is going to show up? Mm. That's
inconsistent,
the toss-up. Yeah. So I don't know. But I'm always going with my balls is hot.
He almost beat Jelton.
Yeah.
He almost got up from the bottom a couple times.
It's because
a couple times.
Well, Jelton won because he put him to sleep through boringness. Jesus Christ, man.
Terrible Mortal Kombat fatality.
For real.
Fatality. 30 minutes.
Go to sleep. Not even by
talking
about
it. Die your sleep.
Nobody ever wants to see Jelton fucking fight ever, dude. Get the fuck out of the UFC, please.
See, I don't want to watch it, but I also don't want him to ever fight me.
Yeah. But see, I don't care because he'll probably just put me to sleep.
All right, we got Joaquin Buckley versus Ruzubov.
Bro.
Who's Ruzubov?
Dude, he's scariest looking motherfucker.
He's good.
I gotta look him up right now.
It's tough, man. We don't have internet right now, guys, and I base a lot of these picks off photos. So this is tough.
But Joaquin Buckley has been looking really good, but this Nurlston guy is huge.
Dude, Ruzubov's dope.
He's like 6'5", isn't he? Mm-hmm.
He just came into the UFC not too long ago.
He's 6'4". Joaquin is 5'8". But they have the same reach. Yeah. So
I'm going to go to Ruzubov.
Nursultan.
I'm not completely sold on Joaquin Buckley yet.
Who was his last
I think
win?
I think Joaquin Buckley, too, is also very sloppy.
Okay.
So Joaquin Buckley has that explosiveness, the athleticism, which gets him really, really far. But he is pretty sloppy. And with a polished fighter, I think Joaquin Buckley kind of gets his ass beat. Mm. So I think Ruzubov, from what I've seen him in his last fight, this caveman here.
He's great. Yeah.
I think he's going to beat Joaquin Buckley pretty easy.
Ooh. I pick him. I can't believe he's an underdog. Ooh.
Yeah.
I put money on that.
And look, I haven't seen enough about Nursultan. Hey, man, can you have a name, please, that we can pronounce?
Nursultan
Ruzubov. Ruzubov.
Oh, that's who he beat. He beat Dumas, 21 Savage.
Yes.
God.
And he did it pretty decisively.
Yes, he did.
With eye pokes.
And 21 Savage is scary, bro.
Yeah. But either way, it looked like he was going to go his way. Yeah. And I think Joaquin Buckley still has a lot to learn in terms of, like, he's just kind of sloppy. And I think that it's just not a good matchup for him.
All right, we got Alonzo Menfield and Carlos Ulberg. I always go with the guys.
I know who Menfield is. I don't know who Ulberg is.
Ulberg is the city kickboxing model looking guy.
Handsome guy.
Handsome
kickboxer.
Yeah. Don't ever go with the pretty guy. We're going to go with Menfield.
Yeah, Menfield, he's legit. He's on a tear, too.
Yeah.
He's beat some good guys. Ahlberg has that, like, I think both these guys have KO potential for sure. I think I'm going to go Menafield.
There it is.
I'm going with experience on this one.
All right, we got Diego Ferreira versus Rebecca.
I only know Ferreira. I don't know Rebecca.
Yeah, Ferreira is the guy I'm going to go with just by name recognition. Jiu-Jitsu, good striking. Nick?
I'm going to go Rebecca because he sounds like he's like Polish or something.
He's Polish.
This is the most Polish, casual.
The Polish guys are hot, right?
It started with me yelling at Anthony for never having submissions, and then he has all submissions.
Oh, Rebecca, dude. This guy is actually pretty sick.
And this is us, how to pick fights.
He choked out.
We need visuals, guys.
Bro, he choked out Roosevelt Roberts in his last fight on UFC 295.
Okay.
So, Rebecca's 19-1, dude.
Pick one.
Rebecca, dude.
Done. All right, Alex Caceres, who's been in the UFC for 30 years.
Ooh, this is a good matchup.
Caceres. Sean Woodson's good, but I think
Caceres is different. He's been looking hella different, man.
And I wonder what weight this is at.
Sean Woodson's the
featherweight.
Sean Woodson's 80% legs, right?
Yeah.
This is a good matchup, actually. Ooh.
Caceres has been on a good one, though. Like, he looks like he's changed a lot of stuff up.
Looks very different.
Oh, he lost to Giga.
Yeah, but the fights before that, he beat Pineda. That guy's good.
Yeah, this is a very good matchup. Fuck. I'm going to have to go with the albino. Let's go with Sean Woodson, dude.
Ooh.
That boy freckled. I'm actually going against my heart right now. I'm going to go with Woodson.
Okay, you know who's next, though?
Yeah, Robles, please.
Taekwondo champ versus Waldo Cortez Acosta.
Alex Acosta's brother.
I'm going with the fucking giant Taekwondo guy forever.
Forever.
Robles.
He's beating everybody. Give him John Jones right now.
He's too, John Jones.
He's too big to lose. I'm going Robles.
Robles.
Despanging.
All day. All right, guys. And then let's go to boxing pick. Fury finally fighting Usyk.
Dude.
After the injury.
Fury looks good, like physically. He has a six-pack.
That makes me a little nervous for Usyk.
He has a six-pack.
Well, he's gotta put on a crazy performance after his quote-unquote loss to Ngannou. Yeah.
So this is the other conversation, he's a little fired up. Right? Do we now believe that Fury didn't take Ngannou seriously?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I definitely... And even watching that fight, you could just see, like, he just didn't look that sharp. His timing looked a little off. If I'm Tyson Fury and I just beat Deontay, I beat all these guys who are big, huge names, who are boxers, I may not take Francis Ngannou that seriously.
It seemed like a walk in the park.
Especially when it's... And we've seen tape on him fighting the UFC.
Yeah.
So, okay. What's this guy got that I haven't seen before?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that was his mindset going in. And it wasn't even on his record, wasn't it? It was like an exhibition match.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So he's like, yeah, give us a shit. Go get a quick, easy payday.
Also, too, man, Francis Ngannou lost his son, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Passed away.
So sad. 18 months.
Don't know why, but 18 months old, and he lost his child. That is so fucking sad, dude. I feel so bad for him, man. He's such a lovable guy, too, for that to happen. And, like, he was basically saying, like...
I can imagine.
Everything that he's done has been, you know, for a better life. Mm-hmm. And to lose his kid, he's like, I can't even change this. It's like, damn, dude, how fucking heartbreaking is that shit, man?
Yeah.
Our heart goes out to you, Francis Ngannou, man. I love you very much, dude. I hope to hug you one day. I just want him to lift me up in the air like a baby.
Dude, pick me up.
He lifts you up. What does he say to you, David?
He goes, you will replace my baby.
I thought you were going to hit him with a, I don't know.
Do we Koopa? Dewey Koopa? Like, I don't know what's happening.
You are my new Dewey Koopa.
I love Dave this small.
To him, David, I'm like, this small. You are my new Dewey Koopa.
You are my new Dewey Koopa.
What a fucking deep cut, dude.
And, I fucking love that guy, man. He's
you
the
are
best.
My Cobra. Dewey Cobra.
I feel like Fury, man, he's going to come in a different man, dude.
Yeah. And Usyk is what, like 6 foot?
6 foot, 40 years old.
Fury is like 6'8"?
Yeah, giant.
He's like 10'9"?
Brother, he's grabbing rim standing. Like, I'm going to go with that guy.
I'm going to go with Fury because I think Fury kind of has that fire in him.
Six-pack Fury?
Especially after what he experienced with Ngannou. He has a lot to prove right now, and that's the motivation he needed. And I think that Usyk is going to get knocked out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not
because Usyk's not sick.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I just think Fury is different right now.
Sounds like that's what you're saying, dude.
A little bit.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Hey. I'm very feel right now. That's what Usyk's famous line. I'm feel.
I'm very feel.
I
think Fury, I think that's the, for me, that's who I want to choose. But man, it's hard to bet against Usyk. You feel like every fight he just wins. He gets it done somehow.
Is Usyk the one that sexually harassed that reporter and kissed her on the mouth?
Yeah, I'm going for Fury.
Usyk did that?
I think that was Usyk.
No. Are you sure that wasn't Rampage Jackson?
I think
Karen
he
Bryant
took a page off of fucking Rampage Jackson's book, and I'm pretty sure it was Usyk that did that.
Jesus.
Yeah. No way. Who's... They know there's cameras, right?
Yeah.
They know they're being recorded.
Hey, but
yeah?
Sometimes I'm feel. I'm very feel.
Is that where he said that in that interview?
No, it was a different interview.
I'm feel. And then he kissed
I forgot
me.
What they asked him, too. They're like, so what did you think about the match? I'm feel. I'm like, I'm very feel. And it fucking had me dying laughing. Me and Mariel kept saying that for like a year straight. You want to go get them to eat? I'm feel. I'm very feel.
Babe, is your knee okay? I'm feel.
I'm very feel.
All right, guys. Really quick, before we go, we got one fan question. We might do a whole episode where we answer all your questions, but just to pull one here, this is from TrueStrive3 from Instagram. He asked, the legacy of Gina Carano from the face of women's MMA to right-wing nut. What do you guys make of just Gina Carano? Is she still one of the OGs? Is it Ronda is more of that position? Is it
Gina Carano
else?
Was way hotter, though, I'll tell you that.
There we go. Do you think Gina Carano is on Mount Rushmore?
For women's MMA? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
She's going to be up there for sure.
I think it's Gina Carano. You throw Honda up there. You throw Cyborg up there.
Yeah.
Probably have to put Nunes up there.
Just if you had a Mount Rushmore, just one of them has to be Mackenzie Dern's ass. Sometimes I even go through our highlights and pause it. Bam. Right there. She's losing, but I don't give a fuck. We're all winning.
This is a great fight.
Just her ass, but you see Henry who's with his hand.
Dude, her booty is crazy, dude. It's ridiculous.
She knows what she's doing, dude. She knows what she's doing.
Hey, I would love to get Gabby Garcia on here.
Oh, dude. We can make that happen. Do you want that? Okay, yeah, that one.
Let's get Gabby Garcia.
Next week, I can make that
happen.
Are
you sure?
Yes.
You sure she's not going to beat the shit out of us?
Well, some people just play nice.
What do you mean? What the fuck do you mean?
Some people just play nice.
Yeah.
Guys, we love you. That was the episode today. Make sure you subscribe, comment, put down in the description what fighters you want here. We are trying to get a big group of fighters as guests here. It's going to be lots of fun. We love you. Peace.